I'm not actually that controversial. But I think most of you guys would agree with me that we tend not have enough time during the day, that there are too few hours in every day to get everything done we want to get done. That there are people, jobs, hobbies, and all sorts of other obligations pulling us in a different direction, dozens of different directions. And this is besides the many distractions of modern life. For example, according to some statistics, the average person spends hours a day scrolling through social media, which is a figure that changes dramatically depending on the age of the person. This may shock you as well, but the younger you are, typically the more time you will spend on social medias. And so with all these aspects of modern life to balance, it is no surprise that many of us struggle to find time to nurture our relationship with the Lord. And the proof for all of this is basically an internet search away. You can quickly Google and find all sorts of statistics for how congregational attendance, prayer, Bible reading, and various other spiritual disciplines are terribly low in terms of practice, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. In fact, it seems to be getting worse. Besides all of these distractions and obligations of modern life, there is another aspect that I do not think is given enough attention. The idea of, you know, not having enough time, the idea of social media is well-trodden ground. But there's also the fear of missing out, or FOMO, as the young kids call it these days. There is a fear that if we slow down, even for a second, we will miss out on opportunities and pleasure. So we have to keep grinding away. Otherwise, other people are going to get what we want. And this is also not a new problem exclusive to our generation. Centuries ago, Christian existentialist Soren Kierkegaard wrote, "Most men pursue pleasure with such breathless haste that they hurry past it." It's a good turn of phrase. I like Kierkegaard. So with all the problems of modern life, where do we find a solution? Well, one of the places we can find a solution is in the important holiday of Sukkot, which is basically the theme of my message this morning. Now, what's interesting is that Sukkot is often rushed past or ignored compared to the other fall holidays. I say this because few, if any, synagogues are selling tickets to a Sukkot service. You might have to buy tickets to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services, but Sukkot will let you in the door for free. So Sukkot is often ignored or given little attention. The services are not as well attended as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's sort of the ignored holiday by most Jewish people today. After all, we have more important things to deal with. We have matters of consequence. Yet, despite how we treat Sukkot today in the Tanakh, Sukkot is considered the most important holiday. So important that it is simply referred to as the holiday in 1 Kings 8:2. And everybody knows what you're talking about. Sukkot is also the seventh and final holiday in the Lord's biblical calendar given to us in Leviticus 23. And so during Sukkot, we build sukkahs. We have one outside that you can check out if you weren't able to last week. But there are temporary booths or shelters commanded by the Lord for us to spend time in during this holiday. And we read this command in Leviticus 23, 42 through 43, where we read, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So this command to build a booth, to build a sukkah, a temporary place to live, is directly tied to the Exodus from Egypt and our 40 years wandering in the desert. In the harsh wilderness that our people constantly wandered, there was no time to build permanent houses. Instead, we lived in this temporary way, which could be easily taken down and moved as the Lord instructed us where to go, nomadically. But in this time period, we were completely dependent on God to provide for our needs in the wilderness. He provided us with food, with shelter, and even our clothes did not wear out, is what the Torah records. And so it is in these shelters, these booths, that we find a solution for modern distraction and busyness. The sukkah teaches us the importance of practicing what I'm going to call today biblical mindfulness, which means mindfully focusing on the Lord in a high-speed, chaotic world. Now, I use this term mindfulness to describe this Sukkot lesson very intentionally. And maybe you've heard of the word mindfulness in popular culture. And the idea is that for close to a decade now, the idea of practicing mindfulness has become a popular philosophical and psychological activity. This vague idea, as it's used in popular culture, has its origins in Buddhism, but has been transformed in various ways by popular psychology, New Agers, and various people selling what is called lifestyle products, and I'm still not sure exactly what that means. Psychology Today, a very popular psychology-based website and magazine, defines mindfulness as, quote, a state of active, open attention to the present. This state is described as observing one's thoughts and feelings without judging them good or bad. And so the basic premise is that by slowing down and intentionally focusing on the present without having moral judgments, we can free ourselves from the anxieties and stresses of our lives. And so this idea of popular cultural mindfulness is the answer to the problems I was describing at the beginning of my message. And again, the idea here is if we just calmly reflect with no attachment to right or wrong, we can fix ourselves and create inner peace. I hear some rumblings in the audience. I wonder why. There's a problem with this form of mindfulness. The problem with this kind of mindfulness is that it leads a person to thinking they could save themselves, to believe through human effort alone we could somehow change our fallen minds and natures. The truth is that not only is there a right and wrong, but we fall exactly on one side of that equation, wrong. However, there is a form of mindfulness that can help us. The biblical mindfulness found in the sukkah. And I think this is part of the reason why Sukkot maybe isn't as popular as it used to be. Because biblical mindfulness is not just being aware of ourselves, but also being aware of the Lord and our relationship to him. It is seeing our lives not through a lens of detachment, but through the eyes of God's word. Biblical mindfulness is intentionally pausing to really examine where we are in this moment of our lives and in our walk with the Lord. It is turning our attention away from the distractions of our bustling society and instead looking, often uncomfortably, into our hearts and minds with God's word guiding us. The sukkah represents a great example of how we can be biblically mindful. Spending time in the sukkah naturally draws us to the Lord. We seat ourselves in shelters open to the sky and stars, which declare daily the nature and reality of our great Creator, a truth found throughout God's word. In the sukkah, we are connected to our people's past with Adonai through the generations that came before us. The sukkah also focuses us on our present relationship with the Lord. Sukkot then is an invitation by the Lord to break away from our routines and busy lives. We are invited to encounter Adonai in a very special way like we did in the wilderness. There is also an offer to experience real joy through his creation and seeking him out. The sukkah can literally shift our perspective, providing an opportunity to get close to God in a way we may have never experienced before. Now, all these blessings I've described so far have been general. I want to spend a few moments now getting practical, answering the question, what does living biblically mindful look like in our lives? And I have two answers to share with you this morning, because if I gave you more, we'd be here for a couple hours. First, being biblically mindful means we are aware of ourselves and the Lord around us. We cannot just coast through life on autopilot and expect everything to work out well. And let me tell you, a lot of people live this way. And I could catch myself doing it as well. So I'm speaking to myself here. We must be interacting daily with God's word and be in prayer during all the situations of our lives. In my own life, I try to remember the Lord during meals, when something good happens, and of course, when something negative happens. To praise the Lord for the daily blessings in my life and to pray for myself and others during difficult times. This allows me to be more aware, especially as someone who is easily distracted. I also try to pray for people right in the moment of their need. If someone calls me up, I've had a couple calls this week with situations, I try to pray with them right there when they needed prayer. Not, I'll pray for you later, or I'll be praying for you, because if I don't do it then, I'm liable to forget it. But I want to be present with them in that moment and present with the Lord. Second, being biblically mindful means knowing our joy and peace is dependent on the Lord. Very important. Without the power of the Lord in our lives, we would collapse like sukkahs in a strong wind. It is only through his help and power that we can experience lasting peace through the Prince of Peace. We can't fix ourselves. But our Messiah promises us real rest for our souls and the strength to endure every trial of this life. Even in death, we do not despair like those who are without hope, because we know there is a permanent dwelling prepared for everyone who trusts in the Lord through Messiah Yeshua. Remembering these truths through the sukkah and from being attentive to God's word encourages us to get close and stay close with the Lord. As our time draws to a close, it's important to emphasize that the sukkah is just a tool. You don't have to wait until Sukkot and have a sukkah in your backyard to be biblically mindful. Every day we can seek out the Lord in his creation or just in a way that is different than our normal routine. This could be through taking a walk or putting our phones in another room and spending some time in solitude and prayer. I feel like my cell phone is like permanently attached to me. The key is to make our relationship with the Lord a priority. We must disconnect from our routines and busyness to seek the peace and joy of the Lord. Now, it's easy to say we will make time for our relationship with the Lord. It's much harder to do so. But unless we put forth actual effort one day at a time to create positive new habits, nothing will ever change. We may find ourselves quickly years down the road in either the same place now spiritually or more likely in a much darker place. The world will daily distract and push us away from the Lord. We must have the power of the Lord active in our lives to push back. May the Lord enable each of us to get close and stay close to him through Messiah Yeshua. May we have the time daily to deepen our relationship with Adonai. May we always be aware of the reality, kingship, and love of the Lord every day of our lives. Thank you.